We began a study through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in the month of September of 2014. That was our 5-year anniversary as a church. And the Lord was telling us, hey, you need to go back to my sermon. That one I preached on that mount those 2,000 years ago, you need to go back to that on a regular basis every 5 years and stay connected with my words that I spoke. And so we decided, let's listen to the Lord and do what he has to say. Because if he's leading us, then it's going to be good. And it's been very good. You know, in this study of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we've encountered the rich teaching of Jesus, where he's encouraging us to live upside down. He's teaching us and encouraging us to live upside down. What does that mean? It means to stop thinking, stop living the world's way, and instead to embrace God's way. God's truth, his prescription, his plans, and his dreams for us. You know that God has dreams for you? Dreams for you. Jesus wants us to connect with those dreams. He does. The teaching of Jesus is, needless to say, impactful, as he calls us to come to a whole nother level. What do you mean a whole nother level? He's calling us to come to the heart level, to do life at the heart level. Where we're not just going through the motions. Where we're not faking it. Where we're not playing games. Where we're not mixing words. No, none of that kind of stuff. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is saying, hey, come with me to the place of reality, of sincerity. Come to the heart level. Let's do life this way. You'll never regret it. So today we're going to once again encounter an exciting but often neglected call from Christ. It's the call to fast. The title of the sermon, I went with this title. I was bouncing all kinds of different little cute things in my head about fasting, and I just decided, you know what, let's just call this the fast track. I guess my mind was on the belong track all week and putting things together and praying through that. But the fast track. You know, Jesus wants to get us on the fast track with God. He wants us to get right on board with God, and he wants us to get where God wants to get us, like quickly, like fast. And so he's given us the fast track. Let's return to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's in Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 16. Matthew 6, beginning of verse 16. Jesus says this. He says, when you fast. And he goes on to instruct us on fasting. He says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they've already received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. In other words, take a shower, put on some deodorant and look good. And do this so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I just want to stop before I even get into any more of this message. And I just want to say, did you see what just happened right there? Jesus just said you're going to fast. And he said that there are rewards associated with fasting God's way. Rewards. And we live in this crazy culture now. Just going off, the Lord's just having me say this right now. We live in a culture right now, and in a church culture that really truly believes that every Christian is entitled to the same experience with God. And here's the deal. We were all created for literally the same experience, in the sense that we can all fully experience him and enjoy him completely. We were all created for that reality. But often we think, but it doesn't matter. I can do whatever, they can do whatever, and we're all entitled to the same blessing, the same feelings, the same rewards. And anyway, that's not true. That's really not the message this morning. It just jumped out at me right now as we were back in Matthew 6. There are rewards associated with fasting, with getting on the fast track. But did you see what else Jesus just did in this passage? Check this out. Jesus is speaking about fasting in the same way that he spoke about giving and praying. when you give, when you pray, and now he says, when you fast. And he's saying, when you fast, not if. When, not if you fast. We don't hear a lot about fasting. Not in the world, not really a whole lot coming from the pulpit about fasting. This is one reason I love just teaching through the Word of God in this way, expositorily, going through the whole Sermon on the Mount, passage by passage, because then we get to hear these things that are on God's heart that really are impactful to us, and we get to take it in and come in alignment with God's way of living. Not pick and choose, man, but let God pick and choose. He's already done it. He's given us the Word, right? Let's get the whole thing. Not a lot of talk about fasting these days. There is a lot of talk going on right now in Gilbert, really in the whole Southeast Valley, about just how awesome downtown Gilbert is because we've got some of the most amazing restaurants in the whole valley. I mean, and here we are. The Lord strategically located us and planted us literally a walk away, a block away from Joe's Barbecue, from Liberty Market, from Postino's, Joyride Taco. I've been to these, okay, all right. We've got Oregano's. We've got Zen Burger. It's awesome. A little pricey. Maybe the kids stay home that night. But you've got Lolo's Chicken and Waffles. We've got all kinds of things. You know, in the morning, you got Bergie's Coffee. I mean, we are in a place, so you're probably already thinking lunch right now. I understand. But we think of Dairy Queen next door. Come on now. Amen. But what about fasting? Lunch, yes. We'll get to that in about an hour or so. But what about fasting? You know, God in His Word, He has a lot to say about fasting. He didn't talk about Lolo's Chicken and Waffles a whole lot, but He did talk about fasting. Now listen to this. There is more teaching in the New Testament. This blows my mind. These things right here. There's more teaching in the New Testament on fasting than on repentance and confession. Isn't that crazy to think? That doesn't mean that repentance and confession are not important at all. I mean, I go back to the day of Pentecost, and they come out of the upper room filled with the Holy Spirit, on fire for God. Peter goes out, he preaches the gospel to the crowds, and it says that they were cut to the heart by the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And they asked, they said, well, what do we have to do now to be saved? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized. So repentance is obviously pretty important. But there's actually more teaching in the New Testament about fasting than repentance. Here's another thing. Jesus taught more about fasting than he did about baptism or communion. But you don't hear churches around saying we're the first fasting church of Gilbert. You know, I was thinking about bringing that up to the elder team. Should we change our name? I mean, I don't know. I mean, this could be really a strategic move here. The first fasting church of Gilbert. I mean, we would be the first fasting church of Gilbert. I mean, the name is available, is what I'm saying. You can get the URL. It's no problem. You can grab it, right? The first fasting church. No, the first Baptist church. Yeah. Anyway, fasting. Often neglected conversation, even in the church. But fasting is important to God. He talks about it. Jesus fasted. Jesus' followers fasted. I mean, it's important to God. And so this is where I was expecting all kinds of people standing up, clapping, saying, Pastor, tell me about this fasting. I got to know about it. Thank you. I got one. Preach it. What is fasting? Fasting, as presented in this book, in the Bible, fasting means to not eat, or it means self-denial, to deny yourself. That's just a very simple definition of what fasting looks like. David Early, he's one of my seminary professors. He's my current seminary professor. By the way, I only have a class and a half left to finish my master's of theology. I'm very excited about that. But it's already to the second to last class, I hit a course that has been impacting my life significantly. It's a course on spiritual formation. And my professor, David Early, he wrote this book on prayer. It was a phenomenal book on prayer. I resonated with it, and it really even is just pushing me even deeper, deeper, deeper into the place of prayer. And David Early says this in his book on prayer. He states that a summary of biblical teaching on fasting reveals it to be choosing not to partake of food. Why? Because spiritual hunger is so deep. Determination in intercession is so intense, or spiritual warfare is so demanding that you temporarily set aside even fleshly needs to give yourself more wholly to prayer. Fasting. It's the denial of something, usually food. It can be other things also. But biblically, we see it tied to denying yourself of food. And let me just go deeper into really what fasting, where it gets to when we get to the heart level of fasting. Fasting is saying to God, look, I am hungry for you. My flesh is crying out for Lolo's chicken and waffles right now. My flesh is crying out for a Dairy Queen double scoop, whatever. I mean, I don't know what they serve over there. Jim, you know. But anyway, he loves it, man. I'm telling you. He doubled down on being a part of this church family when we moved next to Dairy Queen. I'm just telling you. But fasting is saying, God, I am hungry for you. I know my flesh is craving all kinds of things, but I'm not going to be led by my flesh. God, I am so hungry for you. I would rather go without food. I'd rather starve myself than go on as I am. I'd rather not eat again. If that's what it means, if that draws me closer to you, if I just get to hear your voice one more time, if I just get to get a little closer to you, the food doesn't matter. I'm desperate for you. I want you. I need you. I long for you. I love hearing your voice. Fasting, it's an opportunity to tell our flesh to sit down and be quiet. It's an opportunity to say, flesh, you're not in control. I'm not going to be led by you, flesh. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led man. And I'm going to make sure that we have that understanding. And so I'm going to submit my flesh on a regular basis to put it in its place so it knows its place. That it's the Spirit who leads me, who guides me, because I love God and I live for Him. And I'm desperate for Him. So why fast? Does it really work? Is it just some kind of religious thing that we do? We jump through these hoops so that we can look like, you know, special Christians and be part of that, you know, cool Christian club. Does anything really change when we go through this physical discomfort? Well, so the big question as we move forward is why fast and why should I fast more often? So here's what I did. I was looking through God's Word on fasting and I came up with well over 20 examples of fasting in God's Word that help us answer this question, why fast and why fast more often? I'm not going to go through all 20 of them because we'd be here right through lunch and then we'd end up fasting. Actually, not a bad idea. Maybe I should have done that. A little bait and switch, a little, you know, change things up on the church family today. But I know we have some chili in the crock pot at home, honey. See, that's great. It can last till dinner. Let's see where God takes us here. Everybody's sweating. Why fast? Why should I fast more often? We're going to actually look in a little more detail at five examples in God's Word of fasting. And I'm believing that as we look at these biblical examples of fasting, that it is going to answer this question of why do it and why do it more often. Not just intellectually, academically answer the question, A plus B equals C, you know, okay, great, I got it down in my mind, so that's why you do it. No, I'm talking about that it is going to answer the question in our hearts of why fasting is important to us as believers, is important to us who are chasing after God and love Him. All right, let's go to God's Word. Here's the first answer to the question of why fast. Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted. You know, we look at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and literally every time I read that, I'm always like, that's just cool. And you can sit and ponder on that for hours. You want to know how to pray for a couple hours? Just start pondering on that reality. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, as a man on this earth doing his mission, full of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, he just got baptized. The Holy Spirit came down upon him at this point, right? So he's full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. Get the picture of where we are now? Just got baptized. He's being led out in the desert where Satan's going to tempt him, okay? It says it was in that desert where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Let's stop once again here. I just want to make you aware of the fact that Jesus was tempted in every way. He was tempted by the devil. You know, sometimes we go through life and we think, it's not fair. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be tempted like this. I shouldn't have the devil coming at me like this. This is in God's Word. This is there for us to understand that even Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted. It says in Scripture, He was tempted in every way, yet was without sin. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the desert where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And then it says that he ate nothing during those days. In other words, he fasted for those 40 days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. Ha! Makes sense, doesn't it? 40 days of not eating? Jesus. Fully God, fully man. Tempted in every way. Fasted, and he was hungry. Here's the point. Why fast? Why fast more often? Because Jesus fasted. And are we not followers of Christ Jesus? And as followers of Jesus, are we not to walk in his footsteps and do the things that he did and engage in the things that he engaged in? We read about Scripture about how you're going to do these things and even greater things. How did Jesus live and how did all of this happen in Jesus' life? Well, a huge component of it was just laid out for us in Luke chapter 4. He got away with his heavenly Father and he fasted and he prayed. And he did it while being led by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. So why fast and why fast more often? Because Jesus did and we're his followers, called to do the things he did. And as God's Word says, even greater things. The second reason, why fast and why fast more often? Because fasting increases spiritual power and results in greater impact. Let's keep going with that same episode here with Jesus. So he's coming out of the desert now. It says Jesus returned to Galilee, coming out of the desert, that time of fasting, that time of saying no to temptation to the devil. It says he returned to Galilee in what? In the power of the Spirit. Something changed in the desert. Scripture is very clear, and they're pointing out that he came out of that time of being in the desert. He came out of that time of fasting in power. Filled with power. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He started to shake things up, man. You know, I look at that and I think about me. Do I want more? Let me ask you this. Do you want more? Do you want more? Do you desire more? Do you desire to see the power of God actually manifest in you and through you? Do you want to see the things of the Spirit working in you, through you, out of you, and then impacting people around you? Do you want to see your family, your children, your community, your world impacted? Do you want more? Well, are you fasting? Jesus did. And he walked out of that time of that 40-day fast in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he began to impact eternity. Why fast? Why should I fast more often? The third reason, fasting is a weapon of spiritual warfare. after Jesus' disciples, they unsuccessfully cast a demon out of a man. In other words, it didn't work. They tried to cast a demon out of this guy. It didn't work. Jesus showed up and very quickly rebuked the demon, and the demon fled. And so his disciples are going, Jesus, you've shown us how to do this. In fact, you could even imagine they've maybe even done this before with other people, casting out demons, as Jesus sent them two by two out into the different villages from time to time to go minister as he did. And one of the things he told them to do was to cast out demons. And they're like, well, what happened here? Why didn't this work? Why were we unsuccessful? And it says this in Matthew 17:21. Jesus said, well, this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. So I look at life. Why should we fast? Why should we fast more often? And then I think, do we have strongholds in our life? Do we have things that the enemy is coming against us, is messing around with us, is involved in our lives in negative ways? Maybe there are strongholds in our loved ones' lives that we're praying for, that we want to see them have release and freedom in. We know that they're bound up. We know that the enemy is having their way with them. And we don't want that to happen, and so we'll say a prayer. You know, and then a little while later, maybe we'll say another prayer. And we're like, why aren't things changing? And I would say, are we desperate for change? How desperate are we for change? How desperate are we to see those strongholds removed? How desperate are we to see breakthrough happen? Jesus said, sometimes things only move, things only change, things only are released when there's prayer and fasting. Are you fasting? You know, I never considered the idea of fasting until 11 years ago. And I know some people are like, oh, you're our pastor. Didn't you start fasting when you were an infant coming out of the womb, right? You were born fasting. Look at me. I was not born fasting. I'm a big boy, right? You should see my baby pictures. Oh my goodness, it's embarrassing. The Michelin little baby has nothing on me. I mean, I blow him away. I was a big boy. I was a big boy. But I never considered the idea of fasting until 11 years ago. At that time, I had some strongholds in my life. I mean, it was no joke. Besetting sins. Things that weren't good. And I was praying about it. I wanted to be free. I was tired of it. It was tearing me up inside. I wanted it gone. I had strongholds. They kept hanging on. I kept reading God's word saying, God, your word says your grace is enough. Your word says that this is not what my life should look like anymore, that I should have freedom from these things. And a friend of mine who was part of my little four-man Bible study that I was involved in for several years, met over there at the Starbucks off of Stapley and 60, he just approached me in love as a brother in the Lord, and he said, hey, man, you know, I know you're praying, and we're continuing to pray for you, but have you ever considered fasting? And I'm like, what are you, crazy? What does that have to do with anything? He said, I just want to encourage you. Look into fasting, and look at adding fasting to your life right now. So I did. I added fasting to my prayers, and I just figured it was a big coincidence because, you know, within a couple weeks, strongholds were breaking. Freedom was coming into my life. Fasting. Spiritual warfare. Breakthrough. Are there things in your life that you need freedom from? Are there things in your life that you're just sick and tired of them having that place in your life? Fast. Maybe fast more often. The fourth reason that I want us to talk about of why fast and why fast more often is because fasting can help us make some big decisions. Big decisions. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. While they being the church in Antioch, While the church in Antioch were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, and I'm going to stop for just a moment. Again, these little things from God's word that should arrest us, stop us, and have us go, wow. Look it. While the church was worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit, God, talked to them. He showed up. He directed them. He came into that room. He came upon them. He encountered them. The Holy Spirit, the presence of God, came on them when they what? When they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. We got to look at this and not just always, you know, blow by it and this is amazing. I would imagine every person in this room, everybody listening, is like, I would love to hear what God has to say. I want to hear God more. I want to experience Him more. I want to know His presence more. Well, let's look to God's Word. There are prescriptions in the Word of God. While the church was together, and they were worshiping the Lord, and they were fasting together as the church in Antioch at that time, and God speaks to them. That's big stuff. And God spoke to them. The Holy Spirit said to the church, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. Church had a big decision to make. They didn't just create some committee, a bunch of smart people to make a decision. They worshiped. They came together, they worshiped, they prayed, and they fasted, and the Holy Spirit showed up and told them exactly what they needed to do. And then they did it. Do you ever find yourself needing to make a big decision? Anybody in here ever have big decisions that you have to make in life? Would you like to hear what God has to say? You want to know what God has to say about that? Are you fasting? Are you worshiping? Are you coming together with other believers? Just seeking Him and loving on Him? Praying? Submitting yourself to Him? Desperate for Him? I'm reminded also of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was just heartbroken about the condition of Jerusalem. And he was just rattled by it. So what did he do? He got a big committee together and he just mapped it all out and figured out how they're going to... No, he didn't do that. Nehemiah began to pray. And fast. I mean, earnestly seek the Lord God. What can we do about Jerusalem? And out of that place of prayer and fasting, the Lord gave him the strategies and the provision. He didn't know what to do. God did. So he prayed and he fasted. Are you fasting? The fifth reason that I want us to look at of why fast and why fast more often, because fasting prepares the return of Jesus, the bridegroom. Jesus told the disciples of John the Baptist, let me just back up. The disciples of John the Baptist were a little perplexed, and they asked Jesus, why aren't your disciples fasting? Fasting is so important, Jesus. You even teach about fasting. But why aren't your disciples fasting right now? And Jesus said, well, here's the deal. It's because I'm with them right now. Because they are with me and I am with them. I am walking with them right now. But there's going to be coming a day when I won't be with them. And they'll start fasting then. Because they're going to be longing for my return to come back. To be with them. It says this in Luke 5:35. Jesus told those disciples, John the Baptist, he says, but the time will come when the bridegroom, that's Jesus Christ, will be taken from them. And that's where he is right now, isn't he? The right hand of the Father. In those days, they will fast. You know, it's so common. We're always like, oh, Jesus, just come back. Oh, I just need Jesus to come back. Won't this be the day? Life is just, oh, I'm ready for Jesus to return. And sometimes we just start complaining and we let ourselves get right back into that pit. I talked about that a few months ago, just transparent with you about how I was in a pit. And we let ourselves get drug right back into that pit and we're just dragging ourselves through life. The whole time we're crying out, man, I just want Jesus to return. And fasting is correlated with the return of Jesus. You can look elsewhere too. In Joel chapter 2, verses 15 and 18, there's that correlation. In Luke 2:37, there's that correlation. We just looked at Luke 5. That correlation between fasting and the return of the bridegroom. The return of Jesus. And so Jesus is saying that when I'm not with you, you who are followers of mine are going to long for my return so much that you're going to fast and pray and cry out for it. These are just a handful of examples. I told you I had over 20 of them, and I couldn't resist, so I'm going to run through a few more. Don't worry, we have time. I'm just going to run through these quickly. Fasting. I'm hoping what we're finding here is why fast. Do you see yourself in any of these situations? Does any of this relate to you? Are you a follower of Christ? Do you want him to return? Do you have big decisions to make? Is there spiritual warfare going on in your life? Are you ready to walk in power and in victory and see impact happening in you and through you? I mean, all of us, I would imagine that this resonates with us. Why fast? And why fast more often? I want to give a few more reasons. Fasting purifies the soul, and it purifies the body, and it releases revelation. Daniel showed us that. Fasting rescues entire nations. Are there nations right now that need to be rescued? I believe we're living in one that is in need right now of some rescue, of God intervening soon and very soon. Fasting is correlated with nations being rescued. Look at Esther. The whole nation of Israel was called to a fast, and the Lord delivered them from the hands of their enemy, from extinction. Fasting holds back God's judgment. Moses prayed and he fasted and he cried out to God to withhold the judgment on the nation of Israel. And God responded. Fasting brings unexpected victories. Do you need victories in your life? Like we're talking about in Judges 20 and 2 Chronicles 20, we're talking about the kind of victories where the people of God suffered no loss and the enemy was entirely obliterated. And then sometimes they turned on themselves and took themselves out. Do you need that in your life? Fasting brings humility. David teaches us that. He fasted. He got humble before the Lord. And we know this about humility, that God lifts up the humble. Do you need to be lifted up? Do you need God to take his hands and to wrap them gently around you and lift you up? That happens from the place of humility, and fasting will lead us to that place of humility. Fasting, it brings protection. Ezra experienced that. The list goes on and on. On and on. Why fast? Why fast more often? We clearly see that biblical evidence and precedent for Christians to fast today. Unless you have medical reasons why you can't. Fasting really should be part of our lives if we're the people of God. But it's still often ignored. Kind of one of those things that we don't think is necessary. And it's a shame because it's really a gift that God's given us. Fasting is a gift. It's a method of relating to Him, of connecting with Him, and even releasing Him into your life in greater and greater measure. Just as we gain intimacy with God through reading His Word, we gain intimacy with God through prayer. We gain intimacy with God through this thing called fasting. We really, really do. You know, I think about how would it work out if you were to sit on a three-legged stool and there was one leg that was removed. Now, I was looking for a three-legged stool where I could remove one of the legs all week and I never found one. But what I did have at home was this tripod. That has what? Three legs. Tripod, right? And it's a tripod that has three legs, and it works amazing when all three legs are extended at the right length. I mean, check this out. You can put a very expensive camera on this tripod right now. It's steady. It's not going anywhere. It's in balance. You can put a camera on here, an expensive one, and you could stick it right on here. You'll see why I didn't do that here in just a little bit, okay? You can put an expensive camera on here, and it's going to take a steady, clear, focused picture because this is not going anywhere. But look what happens. You can take this, and you can remove one of the legs or shorten one of the legs, and you can put it back up. It falls down. Or you could do this. Well, yeah, it's going to fall down, so I'm going to stand there and hold it, and I'm going to try to keep it steady and keep it in balance so that we can keep everything focused and everything working right. If I just stand here and in my strength hold it and not let go and not look to the left or the right, if I just do this and I... Do you see where I'm going with this? Too often as Christians, we live life this way. We live life with two legs of our spiritual tripod that are extended and another leg very short or non-existent. And that short non-existent leg is often fasting. And so we find ourselves having to hold our lives steady and hold our spiritual life steady and make sure it stays in focus because we're missing one of the legs here. It's out of balance. It's out of focus. Believe Jesus is encouraging everyone in this room right now. Hey, I have a way. My way works. And when you come into alignment with my way of life, my way of living, when you come into alignment with my prescription for your life as a believer, and you extend all of the legs that I've given you, it's going to be easy. Fasting is a gift from God that brings balance to our lives. It's wrapped in kind of an unattractive box. Fasting is, no doubt about it. Yet, it's a gift. When it's opened, when it's used, it's priceless. I want to share this story about my first 3-day fast. I just felt compelled by the Lord to engage in a 3-day fast. This was many years ago. I don't know, probably 10 years ago. And I didn't think I could do it. How in the world am I going to go 3 days without eating food? I probably would die if I didn't eat for 3 days. But at the end of day one, I was hungry. And my stomach was growling. I felt sick. I had a massive headache during day two. I know this is not the typical sales pitch for encouraging people to do something. I'm just speaking reality right here, okay? Sometimes we need to detox, get the junk out of us. That's what was going on in my life, physically at that time. And it was a picture of what was spiritually happening also. I was hungry. I was hurting. I was getting detoxed. But on day three, I'm going to tell you what. Those first 2 days, I don't even remember those first 2 days when day three hit, because on day three I heard from God more clearly than I've ever heard from God in my life. I mean, I felt the presence of God in my life in a way that I had never, ever experienced up until that day. I mean, it was a whole nother level of relationship with God. It was unbelievable. So much so that I remember that Sunday when I was breaking the fast on Sunday morning. And I was driving to church, and my wife, who is just awesome, everybody who knows her knows that, she had made me a whole bunch of blueberry muffins. It's one of my favorite things to eat for breakfast, a blueberry muffin. She made me a whole batch of blueberry muffins and sent the whole batch with me. Okay? And so I'm driving to church all by myself early in the morning, and I get to the parking lot, and I park, and I look at the muffins, and I start bawling my eyes out. Why? I should be like, whoa, eat. I was bawling my eyes out and I was crying out to God saying, God, I don't want to touch those things. I don't even want to ever eat again. I don't want to leave this place with you. I don't want things to change right now. I was bawling my eyes out. I mean, no joke. If I was a woman, my mascara would have been running all over the place. said, God, I don't want to eat the muffins. He said, Eric, eat the muffins. I'm here. Eat the muffins. So I ate. They were good. Thank you, baby. We're going to close with just a couple practical suggestions on fasting. Don't just do it because you think it's a neat thing to do or because the pastor is somehow coercing you into it or you think you're going to be part of that special, you know, spiritual elite team or something like that, you know, the fasting Navy SEALs team or something. Don't do it for that reason. Fasting isn't some sort of cute game or anything. Do it because you really want God. Fast when you're able to spend time in prayerful meditation. When you're really able to spend some time pressing into the Lord. Fast. I currently fast on a day during the week right now where I have a couple hours of intense time in prayer, in the prayer room actually, with the Lord. Don't eat that day. I come back for the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's a day, man, where I'm seeking God, where I'm leaning into Him heavily. We talked about fasting and prayer and worship, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up. I'm just going to go ahead and give a plug for Wednesday night prayer and just say this. The Holy Spirit showed up on Wednesday night. Amen. In a big way. Amen. He came into that place and we just felt like we're supposed to sit and wait. What does God want to say? What does He want to do? And all of a sudden, after an awkward 5 minutes of sitting in silence, the Holy Spirit started saying things through us and speaking words over people in that room. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit began to happen. If you've never fasted before, though, I want to encourage you to start slow. Maybe fast for brief periods of time. End slowly. I know somebody who ate a massively large meal at the end of a relatively long fast and ended up in the hospital. I mean, seriously. You know, these are serious things. The Lord's calling us to do something, but we still need to do it with wisdom. We need to do it, you know, the Lord's given us, you know, understanding and wisdom, and we need to engage that when we're fasting also. Different types of fasting, three common ones are water only. That's probably the most common fast. You've got liquid fast. Maybe you're going to fast a little bit longer and you want to get juices and maybe some broth or something in also. And then you got the Daniel fast. We talked about Daniel earlier, just briefly. And that's where you don't eat meats, you don't eat sweets, usually for a 21-day period. As you're pressing into the Lord. You can start by fasting a meal, maybe fast a 24-hour period. That's one that I really like from 6 o'clock at night until 6 the next night, a whole 24-hour period. Do extended periods of fast. You heard about that 3-day fast. There are those in this room who've done 40-day fasts. And it's possible. I want to make sure that if you're going to fast, that make sure that you're medically okay to do that, especially if you're going to do a longer term one. You know what? Use wisdom in this. But don't let things get in the way. Yeah, I mean, I can't really plan a lunch appointment for Wednesday, and that might get in the way of my schedule a little bit. But you know what? I'm desperate for the Lord. And I don't want to live my life with one of the legs of my tripod or my stool that are retracted. I just don't want to do that. A man by the name of Wesley Duell. He was a missionary for over 60 years. He's the president of the Oriental Missionary Society for 13 of those years. And he exhorts us. He says, when you long to strengthen and discipline your prayer habits and to add a new dimension to your prevailing in prayer, add fasting. When you seek to humble yourself before God in total submission to His will and in total dependence on His almighty power, add fasting. When you face an overwhelming need, a human impossibility, and your soul hungers to see God intervene by supernatural power, add fasting. Fasting. It seems mysterious. How does this all work? Why does not eating affect any of this stuff? It's God's way. It's His economy. It's what He has chosen. You can fight God if you want to. You can say that, no, I don't. I think there's a better way, and this seems like a foolish way. And you can push away the very things that God has established, the foolish things to man that He's established and put in place. You can push them away and miss the fullness that God has for you. Or you can come into agreement with God's way And that's what I see in the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus saying, the world is messed up. It's backwards. It's crazy. Come, let's reconnect with God's way of living. Giving, praying, fasting. And when we do that, I will tell you this, we'll never be disappointed.